Welcome to the Smart City Podcast. So glad you found us. This is a podcast focused on all things Unicity, brought to you by Cincinnati Bell's Smart City Division, fueling innovation and opportunity. I'm Annette, the Corporate Impact Manager for Cincinnati Bell, and we are so excited. This is our very first episode.
We cannot wait to introduce you to the world of Smart City. And here with us today to help us do that is John Putnam. John is the director of Unicity, powered by Cincinnati Bell. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So I think one thing I would love you to start with, if you can, is just kind of walk us through a very high level. And I know we're going to get granular, but what is a smart city?
Smart cities mean many different things to many different people. I always find it easier to start with, how do we define a smart city here at Cincinnati Bell? We're focused in on solving communities' problems. So what we do is start with a foundation that includes fiber, free public Wi-Fi, and then an engagement software package that rides on top of that that allows us to engage with visitors and residents. We use that as the foundation of a smart city and then work with the community from there based on their needs to build a solution that addresses those needs. And that could take many different forms that we'll talk about later.
So in a nutshell, it's really about community-based problem solving, using technology as a foundation, but tech in a way that's not gadgets and things. It's really embedded internet applications, things like that. Is that
exactly
kind of right? Okay.
Exactly. We're not about technology for technology's sake. We're about using technology to solve problems.
Do you have some examples what ways that the smart city initiatives have changed or improved communities so far?
Certainly. I mean, we can look at, you know, Covington, Kentucky, which was one of the early adopters of smart city technologies, and Renaissance Covington, whose mission it is to drive economic development within the Covington area. We lit up the primary business district within Covington, and we used that Wi-Fi and engagement software package to drive economic development. So we learn more about people as they visit the community, mm-hmm. who they are, how often they visit, how long they stay, and how they move through the community. And then think about this. If you're looking at renting a retail space within the city of Covington, they can literally tell you how many people drove in front of the location, how many people walked in front of the location.
That's wild.
Who they are, what they like, and then what they do is they have the ability to then engage those people via email or text message to help drive people to your business.
That's wild.
So in a competitive situation, if I'm looking at locating in Newport versus Covington, I look at locating in Covington because I have this information mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I would never get anyplace else, and this engagement piece that yeah. allows me to reach out and draw business into the community.
And I think that's huge. I think especially for our listeners who are not familiar with the greater Cincinnati area, you know, Google Covington, and you can see at one point it was, I would say it was a dying neighborhood. And now, I mean, Main Strasse is this thriving, people, you know, walk up and down. All hours of the day and the night. And I'd like to think that we've had something to do with that and that kind of partnership with, you know, building up their technology capacities and using that foundation for good.
And if you look at Fairborn, Ohio, another smart city implementation that we provided earlier this year, it was an aging community with a lot of residents that were now aging, moving away, passing away, and they were looking for a tool that would drive economic development, that would bring a younger person back to that community. And free public Wi-Fi and those engagement pieces allow them to educate those people about what's going on in the community, mm-hmm. draw them into the downtown, and draw a younger population back to the community and replace those people that are leaving or dying.
So, you know, I want to loop back to where we talked about, you know, the foundational layer. What are the pillars of that foundational layer?
Great question. The four pillars as we see it is a growing economy, innovative government, thriving neighborhoods, and safer streets. So we talked a little bit about that first step of creating a growing economy and thriving economy. one of the next things that we see a lot of people very interested in these days is safer streets. So if I'm attracting people to my businesses and to my events within my community, I have to make sure that they're safe while they're within that community. So we have a number of programs that are geared towards making sure that they're safe while they're within the community. And then the other one is creating thriving neighborhoods. So, certainly, in urban areas, there is a digital divide. Here in Cincinnati, it's 37% of people within the inner city don't have access to reliable high-speed internet. I've seen that number range from in the low 20s to in the high 40s, depending on the community. So what we do is a lot of free public internet in disadvantaged neighborhoods to bridge the digital divide and address digital inequalities. Mm-hmm. And again, we have some funding models that help us sustain those and deliver that service and sustain it going forward so that we can continue to, you know, have kids have the ability to continue the learning process after 3 o'clock. But one of the things we always talk about is adults. That digital divide has a huge effect on adults in terms of if you think about it, how do I fill out a job application? How do I find a job? All of that's online. It's not like anybody goes and buys the newspaper anymore and looks in the Help Wanted ads.
Yeah.
Those don't exist. It's all online. So, providing, reliable high-speed internet access certainly helps those people in terms of finding jobs and applying for those jobs. But then you start thinking about job training. I can now get job training via the internet, so I might have to stay at home and take care of kids or my parents. Mm-hmm. And now I can do online job training and help make those steps into a different career path or a career path in general.
Yeah, using technology as the great equalizer, I think, is really important. So I'm guessing that all of this costs money, right? At some level?
Absolutely.
When we talk about free Wi-Fi is not really free. Someone has to pay for it.
Right. Free to the end user, not free to the community.
Free to us. So how does a local government or organization fund a smart city initiative?
There's typically two components to the cost of a smart city. There's an upfront cost of putting the fiber in place and the access points and the software. And then there's a continuing cost for the high-speed internet and the monthly monitoring and management of the hardware to make sure that it's up and running and meeting the needs of the community. We've seen that funding come from a couple of different sources. Covington was funded exclusively by grant money.
Great.
So they were able to secure private foundation grants from foundations whose missions it was to improve the community. So they covered it 100% through grant money. Fairborn, on the other hand, was a paid engagement where the city of Fairborn looked at this as an economic development tool and paid us to implement a smart city solution to drive that economic development and attracting new residents to the city. Now, from an ongoing standpoint, one of the things that we think sets us apart is that we've got some sustainability models through our engagement software package that allows us to generate revenue that helps sustain it. Mm-hmm. The biggest fear is always you get grant money, you purchase something, you put it in place, and then a year or two down the road, you don't have any of that money left and you've got these sustainability costs and you have to shut the solution down. So we use that engagement platform for advertising. Mm-hmm. So local businesses can now advertise and engage with people and draw business into their businesses. So the hospitals can now use this targeted medical messaging to deliver messages that are pertinent to the recipient.
That's really neat.
So an old guy like myself might get a flu shot reminder in the fall. A younger woman such as yourself might get medical messaging that is more pertinent to a younger woman.
Everyone gets your flu shot, though.
Yes, you need your flu shot. But I mean, you think about it, you might have a 25, 30-year-old mother mm-hmm. with kids.
Yep.
And now that medical community can deliver prenatal, postnatal, child-rearing, childbearing information directly to those people.
It's all targeted and user-specific.
Exactly. So instead of a billboard that's on the expressway that they buy that would be seen by everyone, mm-hmm. they can now tailor the message based on who's receiving that message.
That's really cool. And so do we as Unicity and Smart City, do we help communities kind of prove that ROI, or how does that work?
Certainly, we don't sell the advertising, but we do introduce them to people who want to participate okay. in those programs with them based on our experience with other locations.
All right. Well, John, thank you so much for being here with us on our inaugural episode of the Smart City Podcast. It was a pleasure having you. Thank you for kicking us off.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, in the episodes to come on the Smart City Podcast, we're going to take a deep dive into each of the pillars that John mentioned earlier in the episode, starting with episode 2, Thriving Neighborhoods. Thank you for listening to the Smart City Podcast. This episode was hosted by Annette DiTommaso, with editing and production by Matt Mulcahy. Special thanks to today's guest, John Putnam, an expert on all things Smart City and one of the leaders of Unicity, Cincinnati Bell's Smart City Division. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email at unicity@sinbell.com. That's unicity@sinbell.com, or visit unicity.cincinnatibell.com. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope to have you back soon.